Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I ain't wanna.
I don't know.
Yeah. Rumors get started, baby boy. Cadillac in the building, baby. We live, funky Friday, Cadillac on these 30s, and it's finna get shining. And baby boy over there got that gold tooth shining in his mouth. Baby boy, what's going down, baby?
I can't call it, brother.
Baby boy, you got to call it, man, because it's one Get Out Friday, man. It's called Get Out Friday, man. Get the funk on. Finna be Saturday. Finna be funk at the party up in what they call Martin, Michigan, East Side, baby. Going up on the East Coast and get down, burn rubber on them rubber holes, not them. Oh, let me slow down. I'm going to bust out a little bit. Take it easy. What's going on, baby? What's happening?
Call it, Joe. I can't call it, big homie. I'm just sitting around here. I'm kind of tired. They woke me up. They woke me up. My clients woke me up, so I'm kind of tired. So.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, baby boy. I've been had one of them days myself, man. Going through a little something, but Lord is good. Everything gonna be all right in a minute. Just gotta roll with the punch right now. You know how that go, man. You had a good week?
Oh yeah, week was beautiful. I had no complaints, man. The good Lord got us up on the right side of the dirt, so that's a good thing.
Oh man, all the time working on the good side of the dirt, up on upper level, man. You know, get some of that sunshine on you, man. You know, I'm a tropical person. I love the sun, baby. Let everything get a little cold if you catch my drift. Baby, Cadillac finna be up in the town, baby. I'm going on
hey,
the East Coast to shine, yo.
Hey, Joe, what you say? You tropical?
I'm tropical, baby. Ain't no doubt. I ain't say nothing funny. I'm tropical. I'm letting everybody know. Sunshine is my favorite sky. You heard me. Getting down, the Cadillac talking. Yay. Woo, nasty with a whip, with a blip. You know what I'm saying? Rough. But we're going to cut all the noise out tonight, man. We just getting started. Just happy to hear everybody. I just want to let all our listeners know that we appreciate you tuning in to the Baby Boy Cadillac Show. And, man, we just appreciate our fans and the people support us, man. And we just want to let you guys know how much we appreciate you. So push that one button. You feel that time you want to talk, man, join right on in. But tonight I think we're going to have a real serious discussion. I want to discuss track rules, man. That's what I want to find out because I heard some stuff over the weekend that was at a track, man, that the guys say that happened with the light and wasn't functioning. Then they didn't know the rules on what a back tie stipulation is. And I think we need to find out the rules and regulations of a track before we get a stipulation. Find out how it go, because you had one guy that say he red lighted, but he didn't know you. Let me slow it down, bring it back. Okay, he said he left there, but his light didn't come on, and then the other car got on the other end and he crossed the white line. So that's a double jeopardy to me. But I want to know what's the track rules on something like that. Do you supposed to run that back, or the car that cut the red light first? Do he get disqualified, or is that a double disqualification? You understand what I'm saying? So if somebody out there want to deal in with this, this is the topic we're going to have tonight. Because we go to these tracks, man, and we got to know exactly what we locking into and what's the stipulations behind it. Then that way that new racers and old racers can be educated on it, so we have a clear understanding, so there ain't no root rod behind it. So, hey, baby boy, what do you think about that?
Well, I feel like I got to give thanks to the sponsors, Clocks Off, Uncle Leroy, Gunnett, our producer, Uncle Larry, Big Sham, Minister D, Long Island Joe, the Detroit City Mafia. They all in tune with Clocks Off and what we doing over here. And to the topic tonight, I want to say it should and it shouldn't be stipulation when you run by track rules. Now, when stipulations comes in, when the person that you are racing That's the stiffest. When you have the stiffest, that's just me personally. But if you run a track rules, you pre-stage, you stage, you red light, you lose. You know how it goes. So, like I say, you got with that you do have a machine as far as the light itself, and it can malfunction. And I saw it a few times, and I heard about it a few times where the tree malfunction or a person had cut a perfect light, and he went red. And when they looked at the ticket or whatever, he cut a perfect light. You know, it's a lot. It's a good topic, I think, and there's a lot to go along with what you want to ask the listeners and stuff like that. And I feel like if you go to a track, it depends on the two guys that's racing and what type of pitch they got. Because me personally, if I run somebody like that, I would want to cut the lights off. I would want to cut the lights off and put somebody down at the end, because world racing, it started on the street. Okay. Now we're going to the track now and being more safer and not getting our cars took and things of that nature, which is perfectly fine. But my thing is this: I was talking about a shop the other day, and one of the older guys say, "Well, baby, I feel this here. If you race somebody, I feel the light is better in your favor, because he can't red light. He can't do this. He can't disqualify himself. I understand that. But my thing is this here. If you say you getting somebody to break or something like that, then you got a lot of guys say, I ain't get the clean bus. I ain't get the clean this. I ain't get the clean that. So there ain't no race. When you raced on the street back in the day, it wasn't no. I saw a couple of guys race on the street where he said he cutting the bus down. If he crack his tires or he raises front end of his car, he gonna raise up with him. That's the bus to him. Another guy say, the bus is me leaving first. So there's a lot of stipulation that goes along with when you racing at the track, and then if you racing by the track rules and you got the back tire, and I don't agree with. I ain't never heard of that until I heard it from the South. I don't have any quotes problems with the guys that do race like that. But I feel that if you're gonna give somebody a spot or something like that, cut the clock, cut them lights off, man, and put somebody down at the end, and put your you got cameras and stuff. And you know, put cameras on both sides of the track, and you can see exactly who won. So the kill all the BS. So you know what I'm saying? That's a good topic, Joe. So we don't see if we got any callers in. Whoever pressed the one button, come on in and say what you need to say about this topic, because I think it's a very good topic, Joe. Producer, do we got any one callers on?
Anybody pushed? Hey, baby boy.
Go ahead, Black.
I really think that's a good topic and a good educational learning, so you can learn the BP. What is a BP man? What is his job? You know, you need, if you're just getting into this game, you need to know. You don't need to assume, because when you're trying to assume, can cost you a lot of money. I'll cost you a little money that you don't want to lose, and nobody wants to give anything away. So it's best to learn up front. So that's what we want our shows to be about, a learning and information, so we can get the information so the youngsters, they'll know how a race is supposed to be held. And then when you stipulate that you got a guy you racing or a track that you want to, first of all, you want to know the track rules, because every track don't have the same rules. So that's what you need to find out first. And then you go from there, and you got your BP man, or you got one of your guys from each camp. Everybody, you know, get together and follow rules and know what the rules are. So I think it's a good topic. Hey, baby boy.
Yeah.
what you went to sleep today, baby boy? Did you get you some rest? It sounds like you've been a little tired, baby boy. You know,
yeah,
like you worked up. You cut too many heads today.
No, well, I got in a little late. I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing too late.
Yeah, I could tell that, baby boy. But the Cadillac gonna leave you alone right now. Hey, engineer, do we got any new callers out there that I hit the one button?
Hey, I'm with you guys.
Okay. All right.
Melvin,
what's going on, Melvin?
I had a rough week, man. But God is good, man. I made it through it. I left out of Chicago, man. I stayed home with my partner, then went haywire on me with my car. And come over pissed me off, man. I gave him the car back. I had to put another car together this week so I could be in Chicago next week, man. But God is good, man. I got to put the Malibu back together. I got it all together. And I'll still be over there to run drag and everything like that. And as far as that topic going, man, you know, this grudge racing game, man, done turned into a hustle. You know, these boys done learned how to hustle people out their money with these cars, with all these tips and everything like that. He ain't got the car that can outrun you, but he's going to try to hustle you some type of way, man, to get there first. So you got to be careful when you get into this game. You know, it used to be who had the fastest car could win the race, but today it's a hustle, man. And that's all they out here doing. They just taking these cars and hustling people out of their money with them. And if you get caught up in the game, there go your money, you know?
Do you think, Mr. Melvin, it'll be a better scene around the grudge racing community as far as the lights being off at a track, as far as if you racing somebody, if you grudge racing somebody? I think that's, I'm getting your input on that. You think that's a more of a grudge race more so than leaving the clocks on, the lights on, as far as you can tell who won who won the race?
I would prefer for them to be off. I would prefer to race just like we race on the street. I'm going to go on mute for a second.
That's what I want to see us, you know, if some of these guys that truly come from the street want to say some good things about, you know, where they come from, more so than, you know, just going to the track and not cutting the clocks on and giving your time, and that's what they scared about, somebody seeing their time. What I'm trying to do is win a race. Or the next person trying to win a race. I don't think me personally, with them turning the lights off, will make the track still gonna hook. The track still gonna do what it's supposed to do, or your car gonna still do what it's supposed to do. And like I say, I think it'll be a good thing for the guys that they do grudge race, turn the lights off and put somebody down at the end of the track to make sure who won. Because, you know, if a person got gapped, he can't tell you no dilemma about, well, you know, it was too close to call and all this old mess. Wow, what? Wow, that background noise coming from? Hey, engineer, producer, have you found that background noise for us? Okay.
He just found it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Baby boy, Cadillac.
Uncle Larry, how you doing tonight, man?
All right, how y'all feeling? How you feeling, Cadillac?
Uncle Larry,
what's going on?
What's going on, Uncle Larry? How you feeling, man?
Oh, man, you know, feeling good, man. I come in to pay my dues, man. You know how it go.
Hey, man, you got to do it. You got to do it, man.
Yes,
sir. That's what I talk about, paying them dues. Them dues you got to do.
Got that right.
So Uncle Larry, did you hear our topic tonight?
I think that y'all was talking about the... No, I'll tell you what you do. Repeat the because I got on just a little bit late. What was
okay.
the topic?
Well, the topic is that we're talking about track rules. What are track rules? Do every track have different rules since the races get an understanding with the rules of the track before they race? So everyone has an understanding and have the VP man and somebody from the camp, everybody be on one accord, then that way there's no friction and no misunderstanding.
Well, you got to get track rules now, and the reason now you have to do it because you have to come to a race now with an encyclopedia on your arm. It's so many different things. It's so much different now than what it used to be. You know, I heard a part where you say run with the lights off. Well, it's just like operating a car or anything else. It doesn't necessarily just have to be the light. It could be the person that's operating the light, you know. And my thing with it is that I just think that we just need to give a little education to the younger guys behind us, because a lot of them are locking to things that they don't really listen to, you know. And now you got to listen real well now because everything is so profound, you know. And with it being such, now it would be best for you all to find out, you know, the track rules, what type of light, and so far and so on you're running on. That way you'll have a direct understanding, you know. So, I think it would be a good thing if each individual find out how things don't go before you put your money up and put your money and stuff. You know, that's to keep down a whole lot of rhetoric and confusion. You
right.
Know?
That's what I was speaking about, and make sure that the VP man and somebody from your camp and the other camp understand, so everybody is on one accord. That's what
yeah.
I.
Well,
that's
you know,
what
a lot
I
of people understand
together.
Exactly what you're saying when you lock in races, but you know, now you got to be careful how you word it. You know, you got to be careful how you word it now, because it's a lot of trickery going on in the game, which in grudge racing it is a lot of trickery. You know, and a person got to make sure that they protect their money. You know, you can't just go up there and just say this or say that. You got to know what you're saying and know what you're doing now, you know, because, you know, words are real tangible. And with them being tangible, you know, this mean one thing, it mean another thing, so far and so on, you know. And the best way to do that is just put protection on your money. Ain't nothing wrong with asking questions, you know. That's the best way to learn. If it's something you don't know, you ask.
Well, I'm going to ask you one, Uncle Larry. Now you come from the street. You come from the streets, right? You come from street racing, right?
No doubt.
Right. This is my question to you. You think that it would be a better community as far as the grudge racing scene on having the clocks off, and you don't have to. You can run street. You can run like on the street more so than and put somebody down on the end, and you put somebody down on your side, and I put somebody down on my side with cameras and everything, and you can tell who won, and you ain't got to go through red lights you lose and all this old stipulation stuff, because I saw, well, when they raced it on the streets, maybe a car did come in one of the guys' lanes. That didn't disqualify him, but he still went down the street, and maybe he lost or maybe he won. Would you think that I kind of
like the light a little bit better, baby boy. And the reason I like the light better is because if you got a good tree, good lights and stuff, and so far and so on, if you have a super tight race, that light is going to give it to the victorious one. You know, if you got something that's malfunctioning, or you got something that's operated manual by some people, if they operate in the proper manner, then I don't know. I have a tendency where I kind of like the lights a little bit better. You know, under those circumstances, you know, but a lot of things that ain't really being looked at. See, up here where we at, the back tire has never been in the play for us up here. We either gave somebody the bus, cars or something of that nature. So when a person operates the tree up this way, they got to know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? When you're getting somebody a back tire or something of that nature, you know, they got to know what they're doing, you know. And that wasn't something that we used to do up this way. So, you know, with it being so, you know, a person just got to make sure that they understand what's going on. you know, and with them understanding what's going on, then they know what they're up against. But when you don't know what you're up against, you know, that could be an element of surprise for you, you know. So I just try to explain it to a level where it be equal and it be fair to everyone, you know. But a lot of times it don't be, you know. So my thing with it is, I like the light on the end a little bit better because it's more pinpoint accuracy than an eye if you get a super close race, you know. And then that would go with the debates and the arguments, you know. So I don't know. It's really hard for me to just, you know, say one way or the other because I've seen some races that were so close with the naked eye until it caused a controversy, you know.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the reason I asked you the question is because it's a lot of people say, well, if I wouldn't have red lighted, I would have won. If I would have made this mistake, I would have won. In grudge racing, you can make all the mistakes you want to race, or you can make all the mistakes you want to make on the street because it's a street race, you know. And I be hearing everybody talking about, you know, that's what grudge racing came from, is the streets in which they are true, which they point out is very true. But my thing is this: if you say you're gonna go and grudge race at the track, you might as well turn the fucking lights on, turn the clocks on. You turn the clocks on, and then everybody knows what you run. You can stop saying, "Well, I'm a grudge racer and I'm this and that and this and that." Because the guy, I think his name Bad Storm said, "Well." He was talking about Brian Davis, and Brian Davis said, I run a shootout, I run this and I run that, but I still grudge race also. I still, you know, and the man, Bad Storm said, well, you ain't no real grudge racer because you running shootouts. I say, huh? He's still a racer. He's still running his car. How the fuck he ain't no real grudge racer? He's still grudge race. I think two guys that's going down the track that bet they money, they grudge racers. Man be class, man be grudge racers, real grudge racers. So I was just trying to, you know, figure out how you got apples and you putting oranges in the same bag. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got oranges in the same bag. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just think that, you know, in a lot of situations, things could be worked out a little bit better, but sometimes they don't, you know, and that's why all that controversy. I don't look for nothing to be perfect because I don't know nothing that is perfect down here. But my thing with it is, you always can find a happy medium and try to work something out. And if you can't work it out with somebody, then you work it out for yourself so that it'll be better for you, you know. And that's just my own personal logic on that because of the simple fact that I know during the time that we were racing before we had this little incident, you know, we always tried to make sure that we had a good understanding with everybody before, you know, before we got to the line or before they got to the line, you know, so that way it won't be no little funny words stuck in and this and that and so far and so on, you know, because, you know, that, I don't know, man, it's just really hard for me to really just say, in the racing world now. That's what made me walk away, man. Racing had changed so much, man. It got to where at one point in time there was so much talking, this and that, and so far and so on. You rip and run all night long, nothing happened, so far and so on. You know, the game of racing just had changed drastically so much, you know.
Yeah, well, you
so
know.
I try to get around the controversy part and still continue to go back and forth, different spots, so far and so on around the world, and just try to enjoy myself, you know, so. Whatever the problem is, I sure hope they get it worked out, man, you know, because of the simple fact. It don't take all that to race. All it takes is two people to get in one lane, the other one get in the other lane, and they know what the rules and regulations is. They know what to do, you
me
know.
And,
but
me and old Bouncer Bud went on the side expressway yesterday. We went head up. We didn't do all that pooping and hollering. I say I'm going to do something to him. He say he's going to do something to me, and we went right on over there. He whooped my ass, And I came back and took it as a man, and I, you know, and that's what it is, Unc. All that going, but you know what though, Unc? Far as a lot of those races and stuff like that, we should see on the street. It's a lot of guys that took a, they took a lot away from racing, man. You know, I remember racing used to be fun. I'm talking about so much fun. But now, like you say, you got so many, you got so much people arguing and all this stipulations and getting personal about your personal thing, man. Come on, man, you ain't got to do all that. You know, and it takes away from the fun of racing, the love of racing. Smelling good gas, smelling good rubber and stuff like that, and just enjoying yourself, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I go looking for, baby boy. Anytime I go, that's what I go looking for, man. I'm going to go and have myself a good time, enjoy myself, and try to enjoy my life. That's what it's all about.
What it's all about. And you know that's what it's all about, huh? Cause I hear a lot of guys that took girls race. They be like, man, I ain't going to that particular race, man. I'm gonna go see some race because I know the people that's running the class racing or running the index racing, bracket racing or whatever. They ain't finna do all. They gonna see some cars going down the track, so I can get there. I can drive there. I can pay my money. I can sit in the stands and enjoy myself more so than. Listen to this guy arguing about how he going to run them, and you ain't got this, and you ain't got this. This ain't got all. You ain't got to do all that, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, the art of grudge racing is when people get together and talk, smack talk, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, I matter of fact, some of it I stand around, I listen, and I laugh at. You know that for a fact yourself. You've been around me for X amount of years. You know, yeah. But when it gets to a point where it gets undesirable, then that's when I really don't care for it. And the reason it's like that with me is because I don't have a problem going to nobody's race. I travels. I don't want to get there and see no controversy. I'm going to come driving way down and see controversy. I can stay around the house and see controversy. I ain't got to go nowhere.
You know,
I ain't looking for that. Going to have myself a good time. That's what I go for, you know. But I just, you know, I just wish them all would come together, man, you know, and it would be just what it's about. It's about drag racing. You know, the game has changed so much now. A lot of time you go to the drag race, but it ain't about drag racing. It's about something altogether different.
Right.
You know.
And see, that's you just said a mouthful right there. I don't understand why negativity is always accepted more so than positivity. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you try to do something positive, they frown upon that. But negativity, they everybody jumping in the arena for some negative stuff. And that's one thing I never understood, you know, how, you know, it's good to, you know, talk about basically nothing. And be about nothing, and somebody is trying to do something positive, they get frowned upon.
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing, first of all? They call me Big Dad. I'm down here in South Mississippi. And I want to say something to, I think the guy's name is Uncle Larry. I listen to him and Big Drag on these shows, and they talk a lot. And Uncle Larry, I want to say one thing to you.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember a time that you could come anywhere in Chicago, or you can come down here in Mississippi, or wherever you go to, and people
hey,
like
everybody.
Me and you and I would get together, and I would say, come on, man, I think I can beat you. I got $5 there, I can beat you through the quarter. And we go out there and race. Now, that is a real grudge race. There's no arguing about anything. There's no, it's just, it was the pride thing. It wasn't even about the money. You know, it's, these days, I just say you have to examine the people that you're racing and look at where they are. You know, I listen to these guys on the radio, Bad Storm, Guy That Texas, Dre, a few others, you know what I'm saying? I'm listening to them on these talk shows, and I'm like, man, come on. Is this reality? Is what we come to? You know, it's not realistic. And, you know, and I listen to that, a lot of guys up there in the north say, them guys down south, all they do is run 8 mile. So they want to run 8 mile, then. Oh, no. Me, myself, I grew up 1320. I'm still 1320. But I run them any way they want to run with my old piece of car running. You know what I'm saying? It's not very often, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go out there and bet something that I can't afford to lose. I work every day. I go out there and I'll bet you $300 to $500. That's it. I don't care. Oh, man, well, you really don't want to race. I wouldn't break my car off for that kind of money. Okay, you just spend all this money, you'll never recover it, so what's the difference? Get all this money built on the motor. I don't care who you are. You will never recover that money. You always spend money trying to go faster. You always spending money going to the track. You always spending money buying fuel, buying oil, changing oil, buying parts, buying spark plugs. You always spending money, so you never recover. Just do it because you like it. That's what I do.
Right.
And I'm by myself. I don't have 20 people in a crew with me. I'm old.
And you know what? That tells me something about you. From what you just said to me, I know that you're a middle-aged man. And the reason I know you're middle-aged because of what you just spoke on a few minutes ago when you said that we would race for the pride of the thing. You know, it wasn't so much. We did bet, but it was more about having bragging rights and walking around with your chest stuck out and so far and so on. Like I say, the game has changed so drastically, man. You know, there's a lot of stipulations now. Your car got to look like mine and all this stuff. You know, back during that time, we didn't do nothing. All we do is if we felt like we could beat a guy, get to the line. You know, and then another thing I wanted to mention to you, too. I never come on the show having controversy about quarter mile or eighth of mile, but what I did come on the show and I addressed, and if anybody on the show can remember, I always said that if a person want to run a quarter mile, have it so they can run a quarter mile. If a person want to run an eighth, they run an eighth. I don't think that does anything but just bring more people to the game because there's a lot of people who want to see quarter mile and a lot of want to see eighth of mile. So I ain't never had no hatred against eighth of mile racing, and I never had no eighth against quarter mile racing because that's what I was brought up on. But my thing was this here. I've always been a person whereas since I've come to drag racing and stuff, my thing was to try to make it better for everybody. You know, not just for a certain group of people, but better for everybody so everybody could be happy and satisfied in what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line to that, you know?
Yeah. So. And one other thing. I got one other thing to say. Now, this is the way I don't understand this punk out thing all of a sudden. Now, it's got to be 1,000 on this, 1,000 on that. If I called Uncle Larry from here in Mississippi, told him I'm coming to Chicago to run him, if I lived in Chicago and told him I wanted to run him, okay, meet me at the track Sunday. If I don't show up at the track Sunday and I see him a week later, 2 weeks later, or whatever, I walk up to Uncle Larry and I hand him $50 for gas money or $100 for gas money or whatever. This is to, you know, help you recover some of the cost for going because I didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
That was just being a real man. But these days, I can't race you if you're going to the track anyway, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
You know, and the part that really gets me about it, you know, I'm not trying to get too deep into it, but the thing that really gets me is this here. I tell you, I say, hey, man, me and you going to race, we're going to race by four. Okay. I get up there and you get up there. You don't get up there. You come up there about 2 or 3 minutes after four or so far and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you that the race is over with, man. We're going to get out because it's still within the range of 4 o'clock.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of them, if you're 1 minute late, you lose. If you're 30 seconds late, you lose. All that kind of stuff. You know, my whole purpose of even coming to the track is to see drag racing. The whole scenario is about drag racing. And this is what the people spend their money for to come see drag racing because that's what it is. It's drag racing. You know, you got other branches off of it, grudge racing, class racing, so forth and so on, but it's still drag racing. So my thing with it is, when you're there, you're something like a actor that's performing for an audience.
Right.
You know, and if you satisfy the audience, then they're going to come back to see, you know, you perform again. You know, It seemed like it got so far away from that man to me, you know, and that's my own personal opinion.
And, baby boy, I heard you say something about the controversy thing a little while ago, and somebody basically just telling the truth on something. You got to remember, controversy sells. Nobody wants, they always want to see something negative, nothing ever positive. They always want to see that, you know what I'm saying? That's like, I listen to some rap music, and I listen at this thing UGK had. They say you always run into the argument, but running from a fight. That's basically what they do. They're going to argue like hell, they're going to run from the fight. The fight is the actual race. They run from that.
Well, I feel, you know what I feel. Are we talking about the Wild Child?
No, this is big.
No.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Well, my thing is this here. Controversy get old at some point. So what I was trying to enlighten the situation is saying that damn, when are we gonna act professional and just be professional about the whole situation? Which I don't mind a little controversy every now and then, or just keep that controversy. Say yeah, but people be professional about the controversy. More so than being straight negative. I don't. The negative. That's what's gonna kill us. The negative. And you gotta put some positive in the negative. So you gotta stir it up a little bit. You know, put your pot of soup on and put your little negative and put your little positive and see what it turned out to be. That's not no negative soup.
Okay, now let me give you an example of something. I want you to. I'm not gonna just put it out there per se, but I'm gonna put it out there where you can understand. If you think back to somewhere around 86, 87, early 90s, that's when the whole drag race, grudge race game changed, if you get what I'm saying. I don't want to put it out there like that, but that's when it changed. It's the younger generation and the people and the things that they did, you know what I'm saying, that's what changed it. Because, you know what I'm saying, back then, a $500 race, $1,000 race was good. All the sudden, races went from $500,000 to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. That's when this game went to basically the wrong side. It's all about having pride in what you do, something that you love. It's, this thing is something that I love. And Uncle Larry?
Yes, sir.
I started racing when I was 9 years old. I learned to drive in a purple truck. My dad bought me a 65 Mustang when I was 13. And I've been racing in 52 years old. So you know how long I've been racing.
Oh, switch things are like getting involved in a long
time. That's a long time.
Engineer, excuse me. Engineer, can you find that background noise?
Is the mic open?
Can you find that background noise, engineer? Appreciate it.
You know, it's just, I've been wanting to say things on this show. I've been listening, you know what I'm saying? And I love your show. Cadillac, I'm not leaving you out. I love you, bro, because I'm saying, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you're telling the truth. And, you know, you sound like Ron O'Neill. He plays Superfly when you talk to me. So, you know, I love that.
Hey, man, listen here, man. I do these shows, man, to have fun, man, enjoy life, man. This is a privilege, man. I'm doing something that I guess I was born to do because, see, I love people, man. You understand? And my thing is, if I can get that guy that's all the way in the back, in the bushes, so to speak, and he want to push the mic, but he's scared he going to get riddled out and talk about me. I want to tell him. No, it ain't like that on this channel. It ain't like that.
Yeah.
Ain't no big guys, no little youth. Everybody the same, man.
We got a guy here, man, that does a radio show, talks show on his radio station. His independent radio station in these times, and he always says, he has a show called A New Day, and he always says there's no such thing as a right or wrong opinion. That's just like saying, you know, a question is dumb. The only dumb question is not asked. Because it's something that you don't know and you're trying to find out. People don't realize that, and they ridicule you for it, but that's what's going on. People really don't know.
Yeah.
But look, I'm going to go back on mute, and it's nice talking to you guys, and I will talk again.
Well, we appreciate you. I appreciate you, you know, and I want to let you know that tomorrow me and Mr. D's show will be on live from Martin, Michigan. Tomorrow we will be forecasting the race also, and we want to let you know, man, that we really appreciate you coming on over to our Clark Hall show, and that we're going to turn around and we're going to be looking forward to seeing you again.
And I will be listening to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, right. Hey, caller. What's your name again?
Coming on, man.
Big Daddy. I'm Big Daddy Hall.
Big Daddy Hall. You must drive a Cadillac, Big Daddy Hall.
Used to, man. Used to.
Well, I can tell you got that hog in your voice, man. I got to recognize you, man. We want to appreciate you, man.
You know what my motto used to be back in the day?
What's that, baby?
Pimp them, slam them doors, and put all the rest in the trunk.
Oh, look out now. Now, you done went old school now. You done went old school on it. Ain't no doubt with it, baby. Ain't no doubt.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, baby. Nothing
gentlemen,
wrong with that.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, what's happening? What's
it's
happening?
A hard job, but somebody got to do it.
All right,
you guys be good now.
All right. Hey, everybody, it's Kareem.
Who we
Hello?
Speaking with?
What's Kareem? Going on?
Who we speaking with?
Kareem.
What up, Kareem?
How
all right, doing?
Man. How y'all doing, man?
I was how you doing?
Back. All right. I was falling back listening to everybody conversate.
Hey, man,
baby boy,
Cali Joe. Yeah. What's going on?
Man, chilling.
What's going on, Terrell?
What's going on, Terrell, baby?
What's going on, guy? What's going on, Cadillac, baby boy? Uncle Larry.
hey, Terrell, put your hands up, Terrell.
That's my boy, Terrell, right there, boy.
I got the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look good last weekend, man. I saw you when you made a pass. It's Melvin, man.
Oh, thanks, Melvin. What's up? Yeah, Melvin. Yeah, I want to shake your hand walking through the pits, remember?
Yep. The car looked good when it left there. I just saw when you put on the trans brake, it kind of pushed itself through the beams there, you know. But
I got that shot. I talked to my trans guy, man. They said I got to build a little more pressure in the fluid, so as soon as I hit it, it grabbed at that point. Pressure was so low that, you know, caused it to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, when you turn it loose, she went on down through there. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was the first time bringing the car out. That was my first pass, and the second pass was a gamble.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to next weekend. You're going to be in drags race and Danier's race, ain't you?
Talking to me?
Yeah, you gonna be there next weekend?
Yeah, I'll be at Danier's race on second. Then the third, it depends. A lot of travel, man. A lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm gonna try to pull into both of them. I'm gonna try to do Danier's on Saturday, and then I'm gonna go over there and hang out with Drag on Sunday because I'm gonna come over.
We got some background noise.
Yeah,
I don't know where that's coming
from.
Yeah, somebody working on something.
We know, sure, hey, to say this, though, it's cheaper being a spectator boy to hit both races back-to-back. You're only paying, what, $15 to get in, sit in the bleachers?
Yeah. Oh, you know, and I really enjoyed last weekend over there, man, being a spectator because, you know, I got to walk around and see people seeing me, and, man, that was a great feeling, you know what I'm saying? Normally, when I'm there with my car, I got to keep my head in the car to make sure everything's right to make that pass. So it's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right to be on both sides of the table.
It's cheap on one side, it's expensive on the other side.
Yeah.
I'm steady working right now, man.
Hey, Terrell.
Yeah.
That's Drag. You know, I know you support my race. You were there last year and everything, but you know it's probably a little bit easier if you plan on doing Danier race too. You probably see Byron's only an hour away from Cordova coming home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it will be a lot wiser if you planning on coming to stop off in Byron on your way back from Danier race. That way you don't have to drive all the way back home. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Byron is right there. See, you go on the way back. You might say if you leave your house and you take 80 around to Cordova. On the way back, you jump on 88
and 88 will take you right to Rochelle. You get there at 51 and go north, and you'll be right there at Byron.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I know that because I'm a trucker.
Let me ask you a question about that. Do they have nitrous fill up in that area and racing fuel?
They got racing fuel at Byron, but they don't have it at – they don't have nitrous, bro. So you probably have to bring much as nitrous you can or borrow from somebody. It's going to be a lot of people there with nitrous, but to have a nitrous filling station, they do not have that at Byron.
Okay.
Hey, Drag. Glad you came on, man. Look, I'm not going to be in the Monza no more. Me and my partner fell out this week. I put the Malibu back together. I got it all back together now. So I'm going to be in the Malibu when I come over there now.
I'm going to run you with the Ford because my Hemi car, I can't. I only got one trailer, and I can't bring them both. So I'm probably just going to bring the Ford.
All right, that's cool. Whatever, we're going to still both go down the drag strip. I ain't coming with no nitrous. It's all motor still.
No, you got to put nitrous on. I got nitrous on the Ford. I ain't changed it over.
No, I ain't going to put no nitrous on. I you can use it. I'll run your own motor. You can spray it. And if I could come out in front of that, then I know I'm doing good. We're doing like that.
All right.
How about that?
You can spray.
Huh?
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, we're doing like that. I don't care. Yeah, I ain't gonna tell you. I know I'm not coming with none, and I don't have the time to go through all that, and I don't even want to use it no more right now. You know what I'm saying? So, and that'll make it even better for me. You know what I'm saying? If I can get on with you and you got the spray on, then I know I'm on the right track.
That's what's up, man. We got real race to talk
about. Really, really would be on the right track.
Yep. Yep. So I'll be over there to find out. We're gonna I'm gonna debate it right there with you. You know. And after our first race, when we go down through there, and if it ain't like that, then we'll come back. We're going to negotiate something else, and you can still use it. I get the break or whatever. You know, we're going to race all day long. It's me and you. It's me. It's Melvin and Drag Show, okay?
That's what we're going to do,
start
man.
Off. All right.
That's what we're going to do, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing you, man.
I'm being $10 on each car.
I'm going tomorrow.
I'm going to try to make it up there, man, and watch you and hang out with you and bet with you and everything up there. So come on over here. I can make me some gas money off of you. So.
I think so I'm going to leave over my car, though.
Oh, you just
going to
come spectate?
Yeah, I'm going to
come
spectate. I just worried about breaking something. You know, I break something again. I can't make the next week.
Well, that's the reason why I ain't moving neither. Well, like I say, I had to build a whole Malibu. I started, my partner went off and started tripping on me on Sunday at 10 o'clock at night. I gave him the car back Monday morning at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And by noon, I had the motor back in the Malibu. So I've been wrenching on it all week long. So I'll be ready. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's ready to go. Yep.
Okay. Hey, baby boy, I got a Cadillac. What up, man? I got a I caught the tail end of the guy talking about when the game changed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Would you say not, Drag? I didn't hear you.
I said I caught the tail end of the guy talking about the game change, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I know exactly what he was talking about, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do too.
I know exactly what he was trying to say, but you know, there's been people like that he talked about in the game all the time that had big money. We just wasn't able to bet it, but it did become a time when we were able to bet that money. But the thing that Baby Boy was talking about, trying to make street racing professional, good luck is what I'm gonna tell you, bro. Cause you're taking a bunch of street people, street racing and street
mm-hmm.
people. You know, you got all walks of life that enjoy street racing, but you only got
mm-hmm.
you know so many people that does it. And all the guys are street racing, man, and some type of, you know, got something slick about them. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest about it, bro. They hustle,
mm-hmm.
they
that's
grab,
the key, that's the key word,
game.
Rick. That's the key word
That's what I say, grudge racing and turn into a hustle, man. That's all it is, man. It's a hustle.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like playing three-car Molly.
It didn't just turn to hustle this week, man. It's been that way for some while.
No, it's been that way for a while.
Hey, man, I don't mean to cut you guys off.
But it happened just like Drag was just saying, there was a time we could bet that money. This is D-Man from the D and Larry Show. What's happening, guys? First, let me introduce myself. There was a time that a lot of people had that money and didn't bet it wildly. They didn't want everybody to know they was betting that kind of money. Then they come along in the late 80s, everybody wanted everybody to know they had money because I was people walking around with $5,000, $6,000 on me every day. It got out of hand. It basically, drag racing really got out of hand on one hand, you can say we're allowed to happen. On another hand, you can say we couldn't stop it. But there's a thing called game bangers that started getting money, and they started buying race cars. When they got in the game just got crazy.
It changed.
That's just, people don't want to see it, but that's what changed the game. I heard
it started about 82.
I heard a bet yesterday. I was on a show. I take that back. It wasn't yesterday. It was the BET show I was on. The bet was lock in 100 on 15 or better. Then all you got to do is listen at the top and you'll see where the sickness came in at. The sickness came in when I said it real fast. Okay, lock this 100. Now, one man think he locked in 100 on 15. Another man just tried to be slick and locked this 100 on 100. See, this is where the BS come in at. But the only way, like Dragon just said, baby, good luck with that. You're not going to never be able to turn street guys into professional guys. That's why they have the name street and professional have the name professional. It's just not going to happen. The mentality is not there. It's just not going to happen. One guy think one way, another guy think another.
Well, this is the question I want to ask you, D, and that's the question I want to ask you too, Dread. Now, we all go to the tracks now for safety and not getting their cars took and stuff like that over the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
let's
cut the lights off. If you street race, now I saw you street race Drag and I saw you street race D, but ever since I was a kid. They going to the track now and world racing, turn the lights off and put somebody down there in the end like y'all used to do it. That'd be more enticing to me to go see a street race at the track more so than we running by track rules.
We used to do that, baby boy, but when we did that, we would rent the track, and then we had free realm to do what it was that we wanted to do. You got to understand the track. When you pay to go to the track, you can't just take over the track and do like you want to do. You know, there was times the guys would, they would pass, look over things we would do at the track, within reason. But in order to do that, you've got to have control of the racetrack because you can't just take their track. The most of the street races, how many times have you seen street races that two cars line up, run ahead up, and they leave together? Most of the time, one will leave, the other one don't, so that he got to stop and back up. You understand what I'm saying? And that could go on for 5 minutes, so... Got to ask your question, and go ahead, D. You can take it from there.
You know, and it's funny you said it because I tried to explain to Dog one night that street racing is just different from just because you're doing it in track. Street racing is different because it's been a minute race, like Drag just said, where one car would move, and he didn't feel like he got a fat break or how the race was set up, so he shut it down and back up. They say it can't be done, but it's been done. And like Drag was just saying about having control of the track, they have lost total control of the track. That was a statement made, baby, about maybe a month or so ago about coming to the track. Do you know you almost need a metal detector at the racetrack now?
This is how bad it's been
because one guy wants to say he's calling shots. He's elite. He's the killer. And he got his homies with him. He got his boys with him. Well, I don't want to pay this race off. I feel like I didn't win. If you don't have the manpower, they're going to out-muscle you. So the only way that I see this thing even coming back close to a ramp of true racing is that the older guys like myself, Drag, Melvin, we're going to get back in what they call get in where you fit in. We're going to get back in our own class and race each other. As long as we are dealing with these younger guys in this racing game today, it's going to be buck wild because that's what they're about. I mean, that's just the
don't
way it is.
Don't discriminate
way,
against all of us. All of us ain't the same. That's just some.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
absolutely,
I would never say all, but the biggest percentage of them are. And then, and what's so bad? Who was that said that? Whoever that was, let me tell you something.
Kareem.
What's so bad? Who that?
Kareem.
Okay, Kareem.
You know what?
Say this. When an older guy like myself meet a younger guy that's in order, man, I give him the utmost praise because it's so hard to find now.
You know what, Kareem? It's
yeah.
just the bad apples just leave a bad taste in your mouth, bro.
For sure.
That's really what it is. You know, I'm not patting myself on the back. I don't know anybody in Chicago that did more street races than me, man. You know, I street
nope.
race. If I ain't got 5,000 runs on the street properly, I ain't got probably no between that and that the track the racing. I ain't got none, man. I mean,
we know Robert Weeks.
Huh?
You know Robert Weeks?
Weeks sound familiar. Yeah, Weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Weeks. He lives in Atlanta now. He's from the South Shore neighborhood. Right, used to live right around the corner from me. I just had to ask that because you might know him. The reason why I said that, I came up watching you all, so I'm taking you all's lead. Now, I understand about the other younger people doing what they want to do. That was never me. I learned from the people that have been doing it from the start. So, you know,
yeah.
I had to even put that out there.
Well, bro,
which was a good way to learn. That's a good way to be.
Nothing bad to say about the young brothers, man, because you know, I was once one of them. I just wasn't as wild, but I was wild. You know, and I did some of the wild things that they talking about. But now we done got older, we done matured, man, and we trying to teach, you know, for those that will listen to us, man, we trying to teach them, you know, what they can do in the street racing game, man, and be successful. But, you know, the first thing a person to say about a dude like me, man, he ain't street racing no more. He ain't nobody. He used to be and all that. You know, it's up to you to listen. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say what I got to say and get the point across. If it helps you, then I've done well. But if it don't help you, then I guess it don't even matter.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all I got to say to you, bro. And I'm not talking bad about the young boys. And he is not either. He's just telling you about the ones that do mess the situation up. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you feel that way about the game, man. Not just about everybody, but the street race game. You know, I don't even care to grudge race anymore, man, for two reasons. And the main reason is because all of the chaos that's in it. And the second reason is, you know, the bets is too high, man. You know, they just flat out too much money, man.
Yeah.
I can't afford to lose $10,000, man.
Well, this is unrelated to racing, but I tell you, you know, I'm a young dude. I'm almost 40, but still young. But shoot, you don't have to tell me. I was one of them privileged brothers that, while I was in junior high school, we had a yacht. My family, right?
Yeah.
So we had a yacht, and three slips over was a man with a badass speedboat, brother. You know what I'm saying? He's doing good, but you know. Pushing chickens and shit. Next thing I know, I come to the boat with my family. Yeah, old dude ain't coming back. Oh, really? What happened? Well, he was chopped up in the bits like beef stew and found in his car.
I know. That was my buddy, bro. I know exactly who you're talking about. He's a color. Uh-huh. He was a color. His name
B-Bad.
Was a color.
His boat name was
B-Bad.
Right.
That was my buddy, bro.
Okay.
That was a good friend of mine.
Right there.
All of
the
guys know him.
Yep.
That happened in 1988. I know exactly when that happened.
Yes, sir. It did, too. Yep. Jackson
yep.
Park in the Harbor.
That was one of my good buddies there, bro.
Yep.
But, yep, that's what, you know, that's what sometimes.
Fact, Rick,
you know,
if you recall, they tried to get him not to go down there.
Yep.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, I was listening to what you guys were saying and everything. I came up racing through my pops, and this is the thing I was thinking about. Now, when you go to a class race, you know, it's drastically different than a grudge race. to a degree. I'm wide. Yeah, it is. It is. Because with class racing, you're getting up to the line, you're racing, you're giving the guys thumbs up, a head tilt, whether you win or lose. I ain't saying the guys that grudge race won't help you, but you get, from what I've seen, you get a little more help in the class racing field than you would in grudge racing, depending on, I guess it depends on who you are. And if like you guys said, it's history. What guys see from grudge racing is the money, and they love that violent lingo. You know what I'm saying? And I'm more on the class racing side because I like to race my car. I put 100 races. I ain't talking about I'm talking about competition racing. I love to go down the track competitively. And what I see in grudge racing, you got to work just to race somebody. And it's not fun. And like you said, these guys want all this money. And then when you come at them, like you know, what's this thing? And people on these shows talk all this smack. And then they get to the track, the first guy come at them, man, what you want to do? They back up. But if you're in a class race, you can talk all you want. You got to get in that line. You paid your money. Well, you got the race.
The difference between the two, bro, is class racing, bracket racing, any type of track organized racing is organized. Street racing
right.
is not organized. It's not organized. You know, you just like playing professional basketball or playing street ball. You know, same difference, bro. It's organized. They have a format that they run off of. In grudge racing, ain't no format. You lay the rules down.
But that's the problem, too, because it's like with grudge racing, you're trying to get a guy to be the lawyer of your contract. You see what I'm saying? And you got a criminal. And I'll take that back. That's all. You got a guy that's going to hold your money and call the rate the way he see fit.
Yeah.
But bruh, let me back you up a minute here. What is the first name of grudge racing? What was grudge racing name before it became the name grudge racing? It was called street racing.
Right.
Street racing. Okay? Street. Remember that, street. When you got street, you deal with the street. There's no ordinance. All thing goes, man. Everything goes, okay? So keep that in mind. That grudge racing is the better name for street racing. The bunch of hustlers, players, or whatever, slicksters, that's in the game, man. Straight up.
But see, that's the thing. I don't trust our contract negotiation, but I'm going to trust this person enough to hold my money. You see what I'm saying? It's like a contradiction. You see what I mean? It's a big contradiction.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why it's chaotic. Because it's already chaotic. Then you're taking your hard-earned money or however you made your money and give it to another guy that's probably just as bad as you. And then that guy, now the guy might have it in with each other on giving your money.
Mm.
And you should pick them as your VP, man.
Mm.
It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. That's all it is.
And that's something I can never do. I can never do that. If I hold somebody else's
something.
Money, they money.
Let me show you guys something. Check this out. I heard him say the other night on the show that a VP man shouldn't get involved in the race. If there's a controversy that comes up with involved in a race, the VP man is the one that's going to be looked to pay the race off. So he should be the main one that makes sure there's a perfect understanding between me and whoever I'm racing. He should never know it's going to be a controversy and not say nothing. Because he the one I'm looking to. I'm giving him my money, so he or she is who's going to pay me. So why would he not be involved in it?
Hey, D, I just want to say something real quick to the listeners. This reason we having these shows like this so we can educate the new racers. You heard what he said. The VP man has the right to lay the race out because you put in trust in the VP man. Both parties got to agree. You understand what I'm saying? So that way that you know your point where you at in the race. Because if you don't know, man, you get tricked out your money. And I'm on mute.
Hey, let me just take that call him back right quick. Big Drag, I was listening to you a little while ago. I love what you said. It was true. But, you know, like I was saying about that money back in the days, a lot of people knew what you could bet and what you couldn't bet. They didn't try to force you into bet. These days they do. Now, as for grudge racing, like you said, it's all about the street. I told a guy this 10 years ago, right here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, up here. I say, man, do you know what grudge racing truly is? He said, two cars, people having an argument about some money going down the track trying to beat each other. I say, that's true. I say, but put it in simple terms, all grudge racing is who can trick who the best. That's all it is. It's one up from here.
Can
you hear me?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we've said several times, grudge is just a new name for street.
Exactly.
Because it's just street racing. That's all grudge is. Maybe, I won't say it, is, I don't know how to say it, I'm just going to say it like this. Maybe they feel like the word grudge sounds better, but it's just a new name for street racing. Man, back in the day, we went from shop to shop trying to get a race on every day. This is what street racing was about. And you would get your car together, you come out at night, eat, and you would race. I've seen a guy, one of my personal friends, Dragon, we used to call him Kevin Funk and Big Trusted. I saw this guy give one guy some money, go to another shop, give that guy money. He said, now you all ain't got no reason to race, y'all both got money. One had a nitrous problem, he went and bought him a nitrous kit. One that needed some slicks, he went and bought a set of slicks. He wanted to see a race just that bad. And there was no controversy going on between those two. It's just that one felt like he could beat the other. Nowadays, back when we had our little cliques, you know, we had our little cliques, like, in fact, I'm sorry to hear about one of my best friends in my little clique. He just passed the other day, man. And I was just talking about him last week. But we had thousands of guys in our clique that did the biggest bet. The rest of the guys got them on the side. Now everybody wants to bet 5,000 on lock in 500 on 5,000 or better. Well, now, back in the days when I was doing something real stupid out here in the streets, 5,000 wasn't no money to bet. Well, today it is some money to bet. But if you got 10 guys putting up 5,000 and I got dragging myself trying to get together, it's a little hard for us. Two of us just turn in. You know, that's what makes the difference. Now, if I win, let's just say I win, and you don't want to pay me. Now it becomes a problem. We already have enough because only two of us to tell you all. But you feel like you got their brain on. This is why all these problems are coming in. Man, they bring these problems back down and men become men. Like I said, I've said this several times. We need to put, which we can't do because of street racing, but it needs to be an unwritten law that says you can only put two skips. And get rid of all the stipulations. I hear every day, because I go on other shows, I may not hit the one button, but I'll be listening to the guys. And guys come in when they book you races. The very next thing I did, about, okay, let me hear your steps. Back in the day, when street racing was street racing, you didn't hear that come up.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Got down.
Came up. You just get on. That was it. That was all. Let me hear your steps. I had
to go on mute for a minute, D, because I was doing something I didn't want the background noise. But
you put wooden bars on your car. If I'm gonna go and buy or pay someone to do this to my car, I could not do that if I got to take it off to race.
Right.
You know. It's crazy. I want you to be on 10, 29, 28, no bar. Come on, man. You are supposed to be trying to race the car, not handicap the car. It's all about handicapping cars now. It's not even about racing the cars no more.
You gotta build a car like a Lego. Bring it to the track with no wheels, no fenders, no doors. and as they talk about what you can and cannot have, there you go. You can race.
that sounds funny, brother, but that's about the size of it. It's so crazy, man. Like you just said, you got to ask a man that you book a race with, what can I do? What do you mean, what can I do? But that's what you got to do. That's just get a race off.
But
what
the thing
what size I got to have?
See, what they've done is taken away the spots. You know, back in the days when we had a car that was not matched, what we would call not equally matched, then we would get compensated by the handicap, which is the spot. You know, give me two in the bus or two in the brake or a car on the brake, whatever the case may be. But nowadays, they want to run equal, but they want you to have exactly what they have. You know,
but Rick, that would be the owner's dip, Rick. That would be the owner's dip we had. Give me the brake. You never asked why I take the hooded bars off. You got to have a set of 1000s, 28s, or 29s. That was never even an issue. You know, cause for one, you're really trying to race. Guys, they are not really trying to race.
Well, I'll tell you, back in the days when we were racing, man, we would all go to the track. There was no such thing as getting the clocks turned off. They was not turning no clocks off at no time. That wasn't even talked about or thought of. We would go to the track and race and post the number on the board and come back. The same dude you from the race that evening sitting right there at the track, watch what you run. And he'd go right back and we would race on the street. Didn't matter what you run or nothing. He just felt he was going to beat you or he was faster than you, whatever the case may be. And we've done that for years, man.
I can tell you one real quick. Remember Dwight when he had the GS with the Cadillac motor in it? We laid on the fence and watched Keith Nell run 11:03 with that beard. They came straight to the street that night and raced. Mm-hmm. And Dwight, to my knowledge, Dwight hadn't been past 11:30. But they tried and won the race. Tried a car that was faster than he was and won.
Yeah. We would gamble, dude. We used to gamble.
Well, not only that, it's not that here. We took our car, which was a 69 Chevelle big block, 4-speed, and went in the battle with a little 62 Chevy that weighed 2,300 pounds with a 8,500 RPM small block 327 in it with 1432s on it and went out there and kicked his butt on the street. He had 1432. Uh-huh. We had Western Auto wide ovals on our car, street tires. And it was expensive, but we won it.
Yep.
But it didn't matter about, okay, well, you got to look like me, you got to dress like me, you if I had a bicycle tire on my car and I figured I could beat you, I'd try you.
Yep. Well, them days are gone, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's unrealistic these days. And then, you know, I'm just going to say, just go buy a big Sonny Leonard mountain load and put down in a Mustang or whatever. Then he'd hire up a street car because he'd have bought a big tank gas load and he come out there and he old glassing you and you only got like a little old 377 or something like that. And like Drag said, you know what I'm saying, look, man, you know you got me, so let me get about five colleagues and tear up out of there. No, you better run
the
head up. You scared and you got
all that. In my good days of drag racing, if I betted you, we didn't need no VP man, no nothing. If I come to you and say I'm betting you, if you beat me, I'm going to take the money out of my pocket and I'm going to give it to you. That's the type of racing that I'm used to having. All this VP man and this guy got a hold of money and we got to have all this stuff that's going on. I'm not with none of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm so glad I'm hanging out with some old school guys here tonight, man, because I'm going to have me some fun when I come over there. This stuff they got going on today, man, it's crazy.
When I grew up, every car
that I had to race while I was growing up was faster than me, and I had to prove myself. I had to take my car, even if he still had the quicker car, I got to outdrive him. And if you got a good driver there, you can outdrive that faster car with a slower car. So I'm back on mute.
I'm going to go back to something I said earlier when I was talking on here. In my day, we didn't have no BC man, and we didn't do no freeze outs or none of that stuff. We're going to run. We'll run for $100, $200, $300, whatever it is. And if I don't show, if it's on the street or at the track, if I don't show, I gave you gas money for not showing up. It was just, that was just a natural giving. You gave the man something for not showing up.
Yeah. Well, you want to know where you don't get stiffed at in this grudge game?
If
when you gambling on the line. That's it. That's the only way you don't get stiffed.
That's about the size of it, too, partner.
That's the only way.
That's about the size of it, for real. No. You can still connect it, Bert. Yeah, you do, on the, even on the flag jammer. Because you got a bunch of these little young guys sitting up there. Well, I bet you're 20, I bet you're 50, I bet you're 100. Red light don't count. Where you do that at?
Right.
Well, the first track I came to Mississippi, I played y'all back in 1996. Nobody knew about me down there but Hal. So it was sweet, boy. It was sweet. We got it, boy.
Matthew, I recognized you when I saw you. I recognize you when I saw you. If you ever get a chance to see my, I come to a track and you there, I'm going to walk up to you, and I'm going to tap you on the shoulder like I did a long time ago. I want to say I was in either Gainesville or Commerce, Georgia, at one of those NHRA events. And a friend of mine, a guy that died a few years back, he knew you, and he told me who you were and everything. That's how I got to know who you were.
Okay. But it ain't, you know, it used to be a lot of them southern states, the country boys, they didn't have access to getting all them good motors and good cars. They always had money. But now that the internet has came and them jokers could, yeah, dog could get on there, shoot, they got some killer stuff down in them southern states and you know, anywhere in the country towns and stuff like that, man, them boys are running fast. It never was a problem. With the money, them boys always had money, but they never had, you know, chassis shops like we got in the big cities and all the engine shops and stuff. But now that stuff has got to be plentiful, man. And them guys are doing their thing, bro. I give them a lot of credit. They run really good.
That's so true. That is so true. But down here, a lot of people used to go, and they would have Mr. Vanley. I know you heard of Paul Vanley. Mr. Vanley would film a big old motor, and they go throw it in a car, no suspension work, go out there seeing 800 feet down the track and blow a motor. And they want to say, well, something must have been wrong with the motor. No, you didn't do any suspension work. You're not hooking.
Right.
You know, and then that's the problem. That's been the problem for these guys. Like now, some of these guys go out there, and they put all this new type stuff on there. They call it a stock suspension. I say stock location because that's what it is, because it's not stock, because none of that stuff came from GM, Ford, or nobody else up under one of those cars. And I tell them, I say, look, man, your car's not hooking. Oh, yes, it is. I said, but you're spinning, bro. You're not hooking. Have you had the car scale? What's that? I say, go get the car. Go to the chassis shop, get a scale, and you'll see the difference. A few of them have done that, and they come back to me and say, man, I thank you for telling me that. They don't know nothing. They don't read. That's the problem with most people in the side. They don't read. They have no understanding and no concept because they don't read.
Right.
And you know, Camaro Craft and Pop Hot Rod and all that, they see them trailer queens and all, they go build a motor. Oh, this car here did it. That car ain't never seen the track. It's just a pretty showpiece. I said, it's not a tech article. That's a World of Wheels car. Show car.
Those engine building contests, you can't take those motors and put them on a racetrack and do with the horsepower it came out on those cars.
No. Hey,
Dre.
Hey, Dre, you still there? Let me show you how a lot of these guys here used to do back, you know, in the 70s and stuff like that with cars. They would see these white guys right here running Nevels and 12s and different things. Chevelle with a big block here, okay? Got a 396, okay? He may have a 396. And he actually tells him what camshaft he has, what head he has, what car rate he has. That's basically it. They never tell him to ask compression on the move or none of that. Guy formed all camshaft, put it in there, no valve spring, no head work. Don't know what compression, and then put an out-of-the-box car rate on there with the same gear that the guy told was in the car and go out there and slow down. Then he wonder, well, what's going on? I said, man, you're doing it out of practice.
Right. right. He did himself harm instead of justice. You know, and I try to tell him that, but, you know, me being who I am, you don't know nothing, okay, but my car's faster than yours. I can keep you in colleagues right now and let you pass by there and run over you. And your motor bigger than mine.
Yeah, well, them guys ain't always better all the time. That's for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, it's... Now, like you're saying, a lot of these guys, I know a lot of them, you know what I'm saying? I've been around a lot of them. And now they like Drag say, they done went on the internet and they done bought cars and they bought motors. They finally find out about going to the chassis man and getting a tuner for the engine. And then some of them learn to drive, but most of them go on high drive. And they go on pay. But then you still can't tell them nothing because they don't listen.
Well, there's a lot of guys, you know, fortunately for me, I was inquisitive enough to want to know what makes it work, how to do it, and maintain it myself. You know, that's why I can still today, with short money, race on the level that I race on, because my whole operation basically is self-contained. As far as doing all the work on it, even a lot of the machine work that's done to my stuff, I either do or assist a lot of the stuff at my buddies in them shops. You know, I don't have to have nobody build me an engine, you know, and things like that. There's the only part about my race car that I do not know how to fix is the transmission. You know, anything else, you know, I can assemble my engine. I know what to do. I know how to tune them. And anybody, if you've ever seen me out pro stock racing, you don't see nobody else on the hood of my car. You know, it's me, you know, maintaining everything. And I'm just glad that I inquired enough and wanted to continue to do that. So that's why I'm able to race still and have, you know, and have really nice stuff. Well, it takes money to do this, you know, but the money part is something that I get a pass on because I know everybody and a lot of people help me, but I do the same. In return, I help them as well. But a lot of these guys, they got a bankroll, man. When they go buy a race car, they buy a driver, and it's just a game for them. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I actually truly have a love for this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I eat, sleep, and drink this stuff. These guys don't give a damn if that car running or not, if they can't make no money with it. You know what I'm saying? But I kind of want to go to the track and go make some laps up and down the track and improve. You know, they don't give a damn. All they want to do is lock in some money, go run Joe, or whoever it is, you know, beat them if they can, and have something to talk about along with them if I can.
See, that, like you said, my thing is that I will come in here. If I didn't have internet, I would go to Barnes & Noble's or some big bookstore, and I go on out to the library, and I find whatever I'm looking for, either check it out there or buy it, and I come home and read it. And I read it 3 or 4 times until I got a true understanding of it. It's like in the old car of mine that I had, 78 Cutlass. I did not know anything about ladder bars, no type of suspension whatsoever, but I went to a guy's chassis shop here, Richard Stevens. I watched him put a car together over there. I came home, cut my car, and did the same thing. But I took it back to him to have it scale and adjust it all the way out because I didn't understand the principles of, you know what I'm saying, the geometry principles of everything. I knew how to put it together because I saw what was going on. I knew, you know what I'm saying, as long as you can read a tape measure, you can basically do anything you want to do.
If you can read a tape measure and weld, you can build a car. But let me tell you the difference between a car builder and a chassis man. You know, a chassis man knows how to make what he build work.
Exactly.
A car builder, man, is just somebody that use the instructions and put it together. You know, you can, and if you can weld, you know, you can build a car. And I just think that situation happened this past week. I'm not going to call any names or anything like that, but saw a guy that I know, you know, got a guy that's supposed to be a chassis builder, which is, in my opinion, he's a car builder.
Mm-hmm.
And he built the guy, did some stuff to this guy's car. Car that was already fine. Doing good, working good and everything. He did his little stuff to it. And that son of a gun is trying to turn over sideways. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of people out here that, you know, they act like they know what they're doing, you know, and they riding the waves, but really they don't know what the hell they're doing, man. You know, and me myself, when it comes to stuff that I don't know what I'm doing, I will go find somebody to know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna play with this, you know, especially talking about a chassis setup. Yeah, I know how to keep my chassis tuned in line once it's set up, but the initial setup, I want a professional to set my car up. You know what I'm saying? And I can maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, when I did that car, I took it out there to him. He told me I had everything right except for, what is it called? The center point, you know.
Intersection.
Yeah, and he told me, he said, look, he said, a lot of people think it's right here at the Navajo Cross Rim. He said, it could be all the way up to the front in front of your feet on the floorboard in the seat of the car.
That's where the intersecting point is. It's not there where the ladder on a four-link car. It's not there where the four-link touches together. The intersecting points, you know, my car, we ran my car 50, 55 inches, you know, 50 inches, you know, 60 inches. We did all that to, but so you have to map that out. I'm going to tell you who taught me that years ago. It was a long time ago, back in like 86, was Gary Duckworth. He's old pro stock racer. He used to, Kenny Hogan used to build his cars and stuff. And that's when I first started running, it was a year later I started running pro stock. I watched some black boys out of Detroit named Noel and Roger. They had a pro stock car called Easton and Fenton. And those are really the guys that inspired me to build a pro stock, because I always had a love for pro stock, but I just, you know, never would follow through. Plus, being a young kid, you know, back in them days, I was in my early 20s, you know, and what had happened, we was down in Sarasota, Florida, and Noel and all them guys, that's when I met Noel, and me and him still good friends to this day. I'll probably see him tomorrow at Little Tony's race. But what had happened was Noel and him had a pro stock, and the car was, they'd make a run with it. They had a yellow Trans Am, a Willie Rail's car, really nice car. And when they would leave, it would dart out to the left, and they would come and do something to it, and they'd come back and it would dart out to the right. They could not get the chassis right. And I watched Gary Duckworth found a place at that track that was square. The ground was level. He put them boys' car up on four jack stands. He took some chalk and a yardstick.
Yep.
And he drew that dog on. He drew that four link out on the ground, and found the correct intersecting points that he wanted, and put that four link in there, man. And that freaking car went 770 the next run, straight as an arrow down the track. You know, so that interests me to want to, you know, learn that stuff and find that stuff out.
Oh yeah, I go to chassis shops all the time. I got one right down the street from me now with one of your old nemesis that works there right now. Come to think of it, Steve Green.
Okay. What is Ricky Carr doing?
I hadn't seen it.
I wonder whatever happened with Ricky Carr, because when I went to Hattiesburg last year and I come up 49, that shop looked like it's closed.
Yeah, it's been closed down for a minute, I heard, but I hadn't seen him. Last time I saw Ricky, him and his little genius was up there when Bobby Coleman had that black Nova and they were doing the nitrous in it.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah. It's the last time I seen him.
Yeah, he was a pretty smart dude, man. Ricky Carr was really a smart dude.
Oh yeah. Because I heard you say something about it. You were down here. I think that's the year that Edmund ran Pat Musa and Tony Christian down there and beat them at that Fat Tuesday race. And then the dude down here, Houston College, with that pretty red Nova. The guy came
to
New Jersey with a little small block and beat them. You remember that little small block Monza?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if I saw you there or not, but I know I saw you about 3 years ago, I think, was up here.
This year is the first time I didn't go to Hattiesburg in 12, 13 years, bro. And the only reason I had a closing on a property I had bought,
and I couldn't, you know, I had to close on it that Friday, and I couldn't make it down there. But I come to Hattiesburg all the time because, you know, my family's down there, and I usually, you know, make it a vacation.
Okay. Well,
but,
I'm here on the coast. I'm actually down in Gulfport, but, you know, I'm always up there in Hattiesburg and Pedal and McGee and, you know, on up in Jackson up there, and occasionally I get up around Memphis, but not too out.
So you say you live about you live on the coast?
I live right here in Gulfport, about a mile from the beach.
I gotta ask you a question. Who is the guy? A little later than this time last year, a little bit after my car burned up. He had a Camaro, a Ness Camaro, blue, really pretty blue and silver. He was off the coast. He had it for sale. I lost contact with him. I was interested in that car. It was like a 2000 Ness Camaro. Do you know him?
I know the shop that that car was over at was at Steve and Nicole. That's where the car came from. I don't know if those guys are still over there or not because I hadn't been to New Orleans in a while. But he stayed somewhere down here around Bay St. Louis or somewhere down here. The guy that, but I hadn't seen him in a while.
Okay, and because it had Gulfport, the address that he had. Listed on Racing Junk with Gulfport. If you happen to see or hear anything about that car that's still around, I'm still interested in that car. I lost contact.
I got your number, too. What I do is I check around. I tell you what I do. I'll get up off my butt tomorrow, and I'll go and see if I can find Steve Green because I think Steve knows him. I don't think they're going to have him in that shop tomorrow, but I know where Steve lives. I go by Steve's house, and I go by a couple other places. And see if anybody can give him some information on it. I'll call you and get
yeah, let me, let me know. I'm interested in that car. At the time, I was putting money together, you know, and wasn't able to crack the nut, but I could probably make it happen now.
Okay. I'll do that for you. It won't be no problem.
Okay.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you. The last name, they call me Big Daddy, but it's Big Daddy Hall. The last name is Hall. And you know the other hall on the other end up here, O'Cuz over there in Montgomery.
I know, yeah.
You know, the old
I got to know you. I got to know you. If you if you've been in Hattiesburg like that, you remember I was a fixture in Hattiesburg one while. I got Doug and Glenn and David, and they never let me go home. They had a place for me to stay when I would come down there.
I was
in Hattiesburg, in Mississippi, all up through New Orleans all the time, back and forth with. You know, Darryl Bird and Jerry Bird and all them guys. I'll stay with them. We used to stay with Mississippi Joe and all them guys.
Yeah, I know all of them. I know Joe big old buffed up butt, too.
I'm supposed to see Joe tomorrow. He's supposed to be here in Martin. We're going to all go to Martin, Michigan and sort support Look Tony tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just took over these guys' show, Greg. We're going to let these guys have his show back, man.
Okay, bro, good to talk to you.
All right, Dre.
I'm just going to go on
y'all doing your thing. Y'all ain't bothering me none.
All right,
baby.
Hey, boy, go ahead. Go ahead and get you some callers, baby, boy. I'm
going
to lay on for a minute, and I'll listen at you.
Okay, Dre.
Hey, appreciate you, Dre. Do your thing, man. Y'all just reminiscing. I'm listening. I'm learning, man. I'm still a young head, man. I'm trying to learn.
That's good learning there, Dre.
Hey, Dre. You never get too old to learn that, man.
Boy, I learn that every day. Every day,
Every day, baby.
Yep.
So, hey, man, you know, sometimes you have to sit back and listen and learn. That's real talk.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. If a joker take out a little time, this is what I got to tell him. I got a lot to tell him about this game here, this race game, man. I mean, I got a lot of knowledge of this, man. And the greatest thing about me is that I learned a lot from a lot of people, you know, the older guys. You know, the dude that I really hung out with early on was a decade older than me. You know what I'm saying? Them guys
are
63, 64, 65 now.
That's right.
You know,
right.
That's Rabbit, that's Cooper, that's Big Lewis. You know, all them guys.
Oh, yeah.
They showed me the way, you know, in Drag Racer.
That's right.
If some of these young cats are listening to me, what I'm telling them, man, I'll point them in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be their dad or tell them what to do, but if they listen at me, I'll definitely get them pointed in the right direction, man. You know, at some point, you got to find your way. But
I can sure get them out of, you know, get them out the wrong direction if they listen to me, because there's a lot of shortcuts that need to be taken to be successful in this game, man, you know. And they're doable, you know. A lot of people think that if you don't buy the biggest and the best and the baddest, you know, you ain't, you're selling yourself short. But that's not true, man. That's not true.
That's real talk, that drag. I've been knowing you ever since I was a kid. You carried me around your arm.
Baby, I remember you was a little boy sitting on that porch, your grandmama porch next door to OC shop. You want to go racing, Val make you go in that house, and we all go racing. You was a little old boy. I remember a big eyed boy. I sure remember
that. Little old boy. Hey, Drake, what you call him? He's a little old boy.
Baby used to be a little old dude, man. He's a little old cat, man.
Hey, did you hear that pacifier in his mouth? Something about mum, 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 mum,
mum. His daddy, boy. His daddy and his mama.
Daddy, boy.
His daddy was a friend of mine, but I'd be darned if Slim would not bet against us. And the killing part about it, his wife, Val, would always tell him, do not bet against Dragnum, because they're going to beat OC. And Slim would bet against us and get beat, and Val would cuss that son of a gun out, boy, so loud on that porch. I told you, so-and-so, and you done messed our money up, you dummy. Oh, my God, boy, there was some heck of a days, partner.
That was good old days, that's Jack.
It's a good old days, boy. I know both of your parents, bro, and well, both of them.
Yeah, that's 100, that, bro. Hey, Dre, yeah. So are you leaving out tonight or are you leaving out tomorrow to go to Little Tony?
Well, you know I got to wait on my big dummy buddy.
Big room in the shop, get an haircut, but I used to be in love with your team.
Wait, say that, D.
I saw him in the shop, and I know him. He had this man as us here. I saw Grace, the city of Chicago. You know her, Shirley.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave
in the morning, baby, like 8 o'clock or something like that. You know, I got a son that lives in Kalamazoo. He's going to school up there, so he'll let me know what's going on as far as the weather. But, you know, with it being so close, man, 2 hours away, I'm going to drive up there if it's raining, bro. If it's raining, I'll just sit in the rain, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was telling Gerard, him and Byron was asking me was I going to your race, and they was like, yeah, I'm going to Dunye's race, and I'm gonna go to yours, and you know, just to support. Like I say, I'm gonna go on due to the fact, you think what I'm saying? I've been on drag racing, and I got love for you, and I got love for Dunye, and I got love for Little Tony, them good people. Y'all good people, man. Y'all do nice events. It ain't too far from the home. So a couple of hours away, like you say. Look gas money, look time. That's it.
That's all it is, bro. $60, $70. I got on Suburban, man. Ain't nobody got no ride. Come on, get in the Suburban. It's got enough room. I got 7 passengers. And I'm going to the track. And I know where the track is at. So Joker ain't got to worry about getting lost. I know right where to go. And I'm going to go support them brothers as well, Donye as well. You know, our race happened to be on the same day, and that's okay. I'm going to still support them brothers, you know. Maybe next year things will be different. But my race is going to be what it is. It's been that, and it's going to stay that, you know.
Well, I'm going to try to get up there. I'm going to leave the west side about 3 o'clock and try to get up. I'm coming. I'm going to come late. I got to work, but I'm coming.
You gotta remember too, though, baby. If you leaving the west side of 3, that's 4 o'clock Michigan time. They're an hour ahead of us. So you lose an hour.
So what time the track close up there?
Well, Martin usually let Little Tony run late. You know, 12 o'clock, something like that. They're pretty good track, and they work for Little Tony.
Well, it's worth the two hour ride. It's worth the 2 hour ride for me. I ain't got nothing to do. It's better to travel 2 hours than be sitting on the block for 2 hours looking and praying somebody don't shoot me.
Well, yes, I got you on that. I got you. You know, we live in a war zone on the west side, bro.
Yeah, man, it's war zone all over, man. We just had to ask the Lord to bless everybody, man, to go through indeed, man. to and from, you know, and pray for our family and other families, man.
You said a mouthful, and believe it or not, I pray for you, whether you know it or not. I may not call your name, but I pray for you and everybody in the sound of my voice every day, man. Everybody around this world, I pray for them every day. I do not leave my house without prayer for the world, man, you know, because that's what it's going to take to try to, you know, help get some of this stuff straightened out, man. We can't do it, man. God's going to have to do this.
That right, bro. You got that right.
That's a whole gang right there. We the army, man. We got to put on the army and go out, man. These youngsters, man, they don't think, man. They just do. You know, man, then the stuff they do after they think about it, they be like, man, that was stupid. Why I do that?
Yeah, but it's too late then, you know.
It's too late.
Somebody out, and then they in a world of trouble. But a lot of it has to do with no guidance. You know, that's why I feel obligated that I should get on these radio shows, especially to talk about what it is that I love and try to, you know, pass a little knowledge on to these brothers, man. You know, maybe I'll touch somebody. If I can touch one or two people and D can touch one or two people and Larry can touch one or two people, you know, that's six people, man. You know, that's six people we making save or point them in the right direction, you know, and maybe they can do the same, you know, grab a couple people here and there, man. So, I, like I said, I feel like I owe back to do that, man, especially this race game.
That's what's up, Dredd. That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. We ain't going to hold you up, Dredd. You go on,
hey, Dredd, we appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Okay, y'all, and all of y'all, man, whoever's going to be at Martin, come up and holler at me tomorrow. I'll be there probably about 10:30, 11 o'clock daytime in the morning. But for those that don't know, baby boy, I got Big Drag's Grudge Race Weekend, third annual next weekend, which is Saturday and Sunday, with the big day being on Sunday. We got Quick 8 Race, 6-second quarter-mile drag racing, clocks off for the Grudge Racers. It's going to be a Money Gamblers race there, all type of free food, free non-alcoholic beverages all day long. As long as you're hungry, we're going to feed you. And I think the entry fee is $20. Don't hold me to that. Last year, I think it was $20. I haven't even discussed that with the track owner yet, what we were charging. But I'm going to try to hold it to $20 unless he changed it and I don't know about it. But I know it will not exceed $25. That's for sure, but I'm going to try to keep it at $20. We will have a race car there, if not two. We're going to have one race car on there, you know, and we're going to be willing to do some grudge racing if, you know, the right race comes along. Be happy to have all you guys there, you know, and it'll be a bunch of old guys there. L.A. coming from Mississippi. Perry is coming from Tennessee. Lil Don is coming from Tennessee. A bunch of more guys from Tennessee. Big Chris is coming from Mississippi. You know, I'll have a lot of guys coming there. My brothers are coming from Mississippi with two cars. I got my other buddies coming from Southern Illinois, Champaign, Urbana. They bringing three cars. We got Red, which is Preacher Boy's cousin. He's coming from St. Louis with two cars. He always bring a couple cars. So, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of cars. We don't have any confirmed locked-in races. I'm not going to get on here and tell you guys that we got that, man. But what I am going to get on here and promise you is that you're going to be able to make run after run after run on Sunday for sure, and most of it, a lot of it on Sunday. Sunday will be our big day. You know, I'm not promoting Saturday, you know, really big because I made a commitment to myself that we're going to go over there to Donnier's race for part of the day. So for those that don't know where Cordova Drag Strip is at, if you come to Byron, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to load up my truck with me and my buddies, and we're going to go over and support Donnier. So you're welcome to either get in the truck with us at the room or follow us to Cordova, which is probably an hour, 10, 15 minutes from Byron, which is Byron is on the way back home, you know, from Cordova. So for those that go into Cordova to Donnier's race, you would have to pass Byron to get home. So if you want to come racing on Sunday, feel free to come on. It's a four-lane, four-wide drag strip, the first four-wide track ever built. It's always, you know, good stopping area, good facility. So for guys that can make it, man, I appreciate you. Come check us out.
Well, you just heard from Big Drag, and that's what it is. And let's keep it moving. Let's see if somebody else got the one button posted, and we're going to talk about our topic tonight. What you say, Cadillac Joe?
Man, I say keep it moving, man. We just want to say big ups to Big Drax for coming on the show, man, on August 2nd and 3rd at his race up at Byron, man. Don't meet us there, beat us there, man, because we're going to be in the house. We're going to show out and bring it to the roof and take it off. We're going to have a party with no roof. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, let's keep it moving.
With no roof on that.
Man, look at here. It's like in the Escalade with no top, baby. We're going to raise the roof. We just going to be happy.
Man, that's what's up, bro. Ain't nothing like being happy. It's not.
Hey, they don't know nothing about that, man. We old school, man. We're going to bring it to the front so the young school want to join in. You know what I'm saying? Get happy. Clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Lift your leg up and say, "Wow, wow, hippie, yo, hippie."
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. That's what's up. But those guys, they just gave us a nice educational thing about these new races and stuff like that. I'm young, so I'm 37, so I don't know if I quote unquote a new racer. I've been around racing a long time, so I can't say if I'm a young racer, but if I race somebody, I'm gonna get somebody a gentleman's race because I'm a gentleman myself. So that's what it's all about. All that hooping and hollering, that's for the birds. They can keep that.
Hey baby.
Yeah.
Hey baby. Hey man.
Go ahead.
Let me say this here, man. We're gonna take a pause for the call. And thank our new engineer, Jack Mack. Jack Mack from the West Side, man. He came in. He helped us out tonight, man. We just want to give a shout out to Jack, man, and tell him we appreciate him. And we appreciate it. And we can't say it again how much we appreciate our loyal listeners. And, you know, we having a thing tomorrow up at Martin, Michigan. We're going to have T-shirts, man. We're going to have some hats in a minute. And shoes. Just hold on. We finna take off, man. We just want to thank everybody for making a transition over to this side of the station, man, of the world, man. We just be happy because it's Friday night and the Cadillac is
champion.
Hey, champ.
Hey,
so, you know,
hello.
I just want to spread that off. Hello.
Gentlemen. Ladies. How's everybody doing this evening?
We're doing fine,
that's
champ.
Right.
You ready for next week?
I was ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, I'm having a lot of money on you, man.
Well, you getting ready to be a rich nigga, you see, next week, I'm knocking somebody the fuck out. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand now. It took a while, but I got it.
Well, you people enjoy your meals. Come on, baby.
Yeah, that's the thing right there. That's what I'm talking about. Baby, eat it. I'm just going to tell you like this here, baby. You babies come on because daddy going to knock somebody the freak out. You heard me? It's going down. Cadillac on the line. We having a good time, man. We want to know if anybody else out there on the line, man, want to comment on our topic tonight or just come and have a little free fall, man. We just trying to kick the knowledge, man, to everybody so they can be aware of what be happening at these tracks and when you're racing. Set your stiff, so if you got to have your BP, man, get you a good person that's on your side that you feel comfortable with. Hey, Jack, we got any other callers out there, man?
Hey, Cadillac Melvin, man. I'm getting my knife all sharp, man. I ain't got no gun to bring over there, but I'm sure I'm going to have my knife real sharp. I'm going to have to do some cutting when I get over there, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to do something different because I'm coming with no... And it's going to be rough on me, but I'm still coming, all right?
Hey, I'm putting a leather suit on for you.
It's going to be 90 degrees outside. Somebody going to burn up.
I'm going to put on another super male because he got his knife sharp.
Say what, Melvin? What you say, Melvin?
That was Drag. Drag said he's going to put another suit on because he got his knife sharp.
Drag, no, I'm bringing a knife to the gun show.
I'm gonna have another suit on because Melvin's coming to cut my head off.
Hey, Melvin, he done made that clear now. He done made that clear. He coming to do his thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Melvin, I don't blame you, man. Hey, if I had the whole power, I'd tell Drag to get down, man. I don't want no trouble right now. I still got butterflies in my stomach, man.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I used to watch Drag myself, Melvin. I know what you mean. He was a bad man. He used to come on the South Side and knock his neck down and be laughing at it and still get something new that G's and B's. Come on with it, man. Come on with that
right,
thing,
man.
Hey,
Shaggy,
man. Yeah, that's right, man. It's all about having a good time, man.
Exactly, man. And that's what I'm coming to do.
What's going on, fellas? Hey, what's going on?
Ain't no blood racing tonight at the test and toe?
Huh?
I'm going to go back on mute.
Ain't
no blood
racing at the test and toe tonight?
Nah, man, we couldn't get up there tonight, man. Got other things going on. We'll be there tomorrow. I had to take care of some other stuff.
Right now, as we speak.
Yeah, well, I understand, but can't be there. Got to do other things. Come before Drag Racing. At a time in my life, everything else came before. Drag Racing came before everything. Nah, it's a different story. You got these grandkids.
Break yourself, fool.
That's it. You got to break yourself, fool. Thank you, DJ. Big J. Jack Rabbit. Kicking it. We gonna look for it's gonna be some racing going on tomorrow. That's what I'm looking forward to. Just getting up there to burn out, man, have a good time and fellowship with my brothers, man. That's what I got up on the box.
That's what it's all about there, bro. That's what it's all about. I promise
that's
you that's what I look forward to.
That's all, man. Hey, you get up there and you have a good time, man. That's all you want, man. Burn out some rubber, man, talk some trash, eat some ribs. Eat some chicken, eat some fish, drink a pop or a water, man. Walk around and tell the Lord, thank you. He let you come and do what you want to do, man. Just give him some praise, man. I give him praise every day because he wakes me up, man. He take care of my moms, my sisters. And, you know, you got your parents, man. If you got both of them, it's a blessing. If you got one, it's still a blessing. Go show them some love. Go throw them a kiss and just hug them and say, I just love you. For no reason. If you can't, send them some flowers on Tuesday and just say, Mama, Daddy, I love you. You understand? Because people leaving here, man. People leaving here. You had the 11-year-old girl left here last Friday. She had a pajama party, man. She jumped up and, unfortunately, man, she got hit, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, man, we got to take out, you know, Drag Racing is cool. The world is cool, but we just got to have more love in it, man. We got to get the youngsters, man, and put our arms around us, man, and try to talk to them. That's all, man. That's all we can do, man. That's just real talk, man. We got to stand up, man. We got to stand up. Some of us, we all failed in a certain way, man, but, you know, we only human, man. Ain't no perfect man on this earth. Ain't nobody perfect. But we having a little church right now. That's the light. 10 and 12. You understand what I'm saying? On the Cadillac. You heard me? But
we need a lot more of that and a lot less of the other stuff that's going on. If we can get a lot more of that church in, we can eliminate a lot of this stuff going on, bro.
Yeah, right. Got that right. You got that right, bro. That don't make no sense, but it's a shame that we have to subject ourselves to that, but it is what it is. So
it is what it is, man. We just want to have love, man, and try to get the youth together, man, and get our shorties, man, and show them we love and put arms around. That's all. Hey, we got a new call out there. Shaking back out there, shaking back. I see your number. Come on up here, man. Don't be scared, man. Pick the phone up. Dial in.
What's going on, fellas, Jack?
Shake it
back.
Shake
it
back. Hiding in the bushes, man. Hey, Black, yeah. man, shake it back. Hiding in the bushes. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it?
I'm closing up shop, trying to head out to Martin right now, man. So I'm about to load this car up and put some gas in there and head on out. I'm going to get an early start.
I heard that, brother. I heard that. We'll get a chance to see you tomorrow.
Yeah, Drag, I appreciate all that information you gave us, man. That was like I was sitting in class, man. You didn't see my hand when I was raising it, did you?
I appreciate you absorbing it, bro. I hope it can help you. And for everybody, man, if you got any tech questions or some speed questions, man, call me. Feel free to call me at any time. And if I don't know, I do know somebody that do know. We'll get your problems solved and get your questions answered.
I know. I got your number direct, so anytime I need something, I'll be there
call
for you.
Call me. That's for everybody, bro. Everybody.
You got my ass up.
Do we still got Uncle Larry on the phone?
Oh, this boy's looking here deep tonight.
I'm looking for Uncle Larry.
Well, he said he's a street race, huh?
Yeah, well, it is what it is. It's just, you know, with me, Drag, it's like, it ain't like it used to be. And I know the world changed and, you know, time takes a change. I understand that, but there ain't a lot of good, knowledgeable and guys that can tell you things such as yourself, as far as the knowledge and the experience that you have, you know, with drag racing, you know. So it's a plus, man. To hear guys that got knowledge and wisdom with this thing, you know, because when you hit certain guys' shows and stuff like that, they don't have no knowledge. They just be trying to get your money instead of, you know, have a show about the knowledge of a race car, you know, how dangerous a race car is, or, you know, things, how the car works. A
there's a lot of guys out here, baby, that's very knowledgeable, you know what I'm saying? It's not more knowledgeable than I am, but the messed up part is that I guess they feel like nobody wants to hear them. But what they need to know is that they need to be heard, you know, especially if they come through the ranks. You know, it's a part of their duty as a racer and a veteran racer to, you know, spread some of that knowledge, man. There's a lot of guys out here that's eager to learn, but they ain't got nobody to teach them, you know, or point them in the right direction.
And that's what it's all about. I'd rather listen than talk, because that loudest person in the room is always the weakest person in the room.
Let me tell you something that I figured out a long time ago. You know, when God created us all, bro, he made sure everybody got 2 ears and 1 mouth. I ain't never seen nobody with 2 mouths. You know, he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. And you know why he did that? Because he wanted us to listen twice as much as we talk. You know, and if you can use that philosophy, boy, you get a long way.
Hey, Drag, I want to say amen. Let the church say amen. Drag race, amen. Amen.
Yes,
amen. I'm on mute.
And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about right there. And, you know, like I say, man, I listen to the guys that make common sense. I like a guy to tell me common sense that he's just talking out of the side of his neck. I'm not too much gonna listen to him. I like facts and just, you know, just learning something, because you learn from a kid, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got these people that know everything. I don't think I would want to know everything, man. I don't think the good Lord put one person on this earth to know everything. So, you know,
like I said, I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna learn until I get me a fast car, and I know where to go to get it tuned or something that I'm going through with the car. I ask you about it, and you can tell me, well, you know what? This is what you need to do. Try this. It might work. And so it's just stack of grits and groceries. Soon I tried, it was right. Because you have been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was Gucci the other day, and I was telling him about when Big Bertha, when y'all had Big Bertha, and y'all won the Buick boys, Didi number at 41, and
mm-hmm.
I was telling him about the race, and what had happened, and then they said, well, they said, Didi them drag them sprayed and this and that and this and that and this and that. I say, man, well, why Junior say, he was in front of drag and this and that, and I'm like, you know what, the drag say was in front, the lights say was in front, so what does it matter? Well, you just don't know, and that track always had messed up lights and this that and this that. I'm like, well, you know. It is what it is. That's the reason they went to the track. They couldn't go on the streets with those cars and run those cars. There had to be a reason why they went to that track to run that race, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, people can say what they want to say. We won the race. We beat them, crossed the finish line. I was out front. I mean, you can look and see that I was out front. But if that's what they feel, then, you know, they can say what they want. That's what they say, the crap that they keep going on. The bottom line is we won the race, we got paid, you know, and it's a done deal as far as we're concerned, you know. If they want to elaborate on that for the rest of their life, then go right ahead. If they want to rerun again, we still own the same car. So we'll rerun it again if we have to.
Well, you know, I don't think it was him where the Buick boys talking. It was just, you know, how, you know, you get around a couple of guys and they just sit around and talk about different type of races and what race went on when Pimp ran Terrio last year at the Grove, and Terrio red lighted and Dance were following them, and they had a race at 41 last week with Terrell, and they said the light malfunction. They just going off the accuracy with the actual light. You know what I'm saying? They was just basically just talking about different type of races and stuff like that, what transpired and stuff like that, what they had thought.
You got knocked the fuck out, bitch!
Yeah! Hey, we want to welcome Big Sham to the show. Big Sham, come on out the bushes, man. Come on out, Sham. I
well,
see you down there, man. Come on.
What's going on with you brothers, man? How y'all feel, man? I'm just showing y'all out, man. Man, everything's peaceful. I just listening in, man. I was working, and I'm off now. So I just letting y'all know I am listening in on y'all.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
We just having a good time over here, Sam. Having some old flashbacks.
Oh yeah, I mean you know
some of this old school knowledge.
That's right. If you listen, you can learn something.
That's what we talking about.
Hey, Big Sam, since you've been listening, what you think about the topic tonight?
I haven't been on long enough. I didn't hear the topic. I came on when Drag and I don't know who the other brother was, but he was on the phone with somebody. So I didn't hear the topic. What was the topic, baby boy?
Give him the topic, Cadillac. Okay.
Hello, go ahead. What'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Give Big Sham the topic. If not, I'll give
the topic tonight is what about the track rules? Should you learn the track rules at other tracks, or... And before you race, and should you have a BP man